Hello and welcome to the Home Assistant Podcast. This is episode 2024.10. And as usual, I'm joined with Phil. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Rohan. How are you going?
Good. And as usual, this episode is sponsored by Home Assistant Cloud by Nabucasa. Easily access your local Home Assistant instance remotely for a small monthly fee that supports both the Home Assistant and ESB Home projects, along with a slew of other projects too. Configuration is done by the user interface, and there's no fiddling with router settings, SSL certificates, or any other YAML. All right. Phil, what do you want to talk about? Let's talk about what's new in 2024.10. It's October.
Yeah, October release. I think a pretty decent release, too. I've started playing with the beta as soon as it came out, essentially. Obviously, we do this show, so I like to, you know, play around with it, know what I'm talking about. And there's actually some really cool things. The big one that I'm really excited for, and I know that this has been like a year of the dashboard, or you know, year of, you know, got the new sections layout and all that. I personally haven't been big on that. Like, I know that that whole, like, I've seen the, it looks nice, but for me, like, yeah. I had my nice mushroom layout, and I just, you know, for me, like, it's there. I'm not changing it, right? Like, I don't have...
Sure.
It's a lot of...
You have it ready already and...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I saw in the release notes, one of the, like, I think it's one of the top things in the release notes is the new heading style. And I immediately, I'm like, this looks fantastic. So there was a previous card in the dashboards called a section title. That's been replaced with this new heading card or heading style card. And these cards can have both a heading and a subheading or a subtitle. And if you've previously been using the section title card in your dashboard, they will automatically be migrated over to this new heading card. So the great thing about this is that you can also have entities in the heading, which you might have a heading as, you know, bedroom, and then the entities might be, you know, what the current temperature is, or if the lights are on or off in that room. And it looks fantastic. And I was like, yes, I need to jump on this straight away. So I'm not using, as I said, I'm not using the sections layout or anything yet. So I jumped in, I went in to edit my dashboard, and I'm like, I typed in the card. I'm like, yep, cool, title, and pressed it. And then nothing came up. I'm like, well, what is this? Where, it's in the release notes. I'm looking at it, right?
Yeah.
And then I realized I'd put in a tile card, not a title card. I'm like, oh, okay, that's nice. My bad. Anyway, go back in. Couldn't find the title card at all. I'm like, what is going on? So then I'm like, oh, hang on. It's not called title, is it? It's called heading. So I go in. I'm like, all right, type in heading. Nothing comes up. I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. They've only made this available for the new sections layout. Turns out I just didn't refresh my Lovelace dashboard or, you know, the browser.
So it is there.
Yep. So you don't have to be using the new sections layout. I'm now using it on my mushroom styled dashboard, and it's fantastic. There is one feature request I would have. So in my case, I have a few helper entities, like template entities, to show, to count things, right? Like how many doors are open, how many windows are open, how many lights are on.
Yeah.
And that looks nice in the mushroom template, right? And I have it so that when a door is open, the color of that little tile card changes, the icon changes, and it'll say, you know, one door open. And then I can click on that, and it will open up a group entity, which has all of the doors, right? And then I can see which door is open. So I can see, okay, yes, one door is open. Which door is it? And it'll tell me all the closed doors and the open door, because it's just that group's entity that I've got. The problem with this new heading style...
You can probably do it with bubble and, like, do that kind of, like, bubble card and...
Exactly, yeah. The problem with this heading style is that you can't choose which entity takes the actions from. So, in my case, I was using a template entity to show, you know, like a sensor, to show how many numbers, you know, of windows or doors are open. But then when I click it, the action then takes a... action against a group entity, so that I can get more info on the group entity. You can't do that with these heading style things. So if I was to have, you know, one door open in my security heading, when I click that, it's just going to show up the more info dialogue of that sensor, which just says one. Might be able to do something with like some attributes to that template and say, you know, and in the attributes, give me a list of which doors are open, which now I'm thinking about it might be a way around it. It's not ideal. But yeah, that's my only wish for this, which I understand is it's a brand new feature. I don't expect it to have everything from day one. But otherwise, I actually think design-wise, they look clean. I was really impressed. And yeah, it's sort of starting me to look at, you know, some of the new, like the new summary tabs that they've got at the top, switching a few things over into those new additions there. So,
well, what's cool is you can have like subtitles there too, right? And that looks really, really nice, right? Like it's, I'm just looking at the preview on the RC notes and yeah, like it's like, hey, here's kitchen and under there you have your, you know, whatever entities and then you have your sensors and then you have your separate section for sensors and that kind of thing. This is really neat. I think this is really, really nice. But the annoying thing is I just spent all this time making my new Lovelace dashboard and I really don't want to redo it.
Well, that's the thing. And that's why I've sort of been reluctant to get a hold of this like year of the dashboard, right? Because I know that by January next year, someone's going to put something out on Reddit that looks even more, you know, like sexy, right? And then I'm going to want to use that. And it's, yeah. So for me, it's sort of like...
It's a good problem to have.
It is, yeah. But it's, I just need to concentrate my efforts on getting the automations right first before I go and tweak things that, you know, to look nice that realistically only I'm looking at the moment because I don't have any tablets around the house. So
yeah, which is fair. All right. Also, there are repairs for long-term statistics now. So when there's an issue with any long-term stats, Home Assistant will actually raise a repair issue and then, so this was kind of there before, I think. And it was hidden in the developer tools, but now it's kind of just out there exposed and it's in your face to say, hey, there's something going on and you should do something about it, right? So,
you know what I would like to see? Like, I was just randomly looking as I did this upgrade. I was like, and I saw this, you know, long-term stats. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm, you know, wonder if I've got anything broken. Luckily, I hadn't. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if I'm using, I think I'm still using like the SQLite database. Maybe I should look at migrating to my SQL or something and just, you know, get off the Home Assistant V2 DB file. I looked at it. My Home Assistant V2 DB file is like 1.7 gig. I don't know how large yours is, Rohan, but that seemed a lot. And there's some entities where I just don't get history statistics for whatever reason. I'm sure there's like a config entry that I've got hidden away somewhere that maybe I'm suppressing things. And I was like, okay, cool. Maybe I'll just, you know, turn on MySQL. Apparently, from what I've read, that doesn't migrate your existing long-term stats. So now I'm sort of like, well, I've got all my energy history and everything in this DB file now, right? I've seen some threads on people saying, you know, oh, I was able to run this Python package and run it into a SQL dump over here. I would love for there to be some more portability in the future of, you know, Home Assistant being able to say, this is where your data is stored. Where would you like your data stored? Would you like to migrate that data? You know, so I can migrate from, you know, SQLite to MySQL or wherever, whatever else is supported, right?
Yeah. That would be nice. I know at some point, this actually came up in some of the creators' calls, right? And I think it was either Paulus or Frank that were talking about it. From an efficiency perspective, it's their opinion that the SQLite, basically what they've done and how much they've optimized and stuff like that. We always see stuff from like Bidraco and stuff like that, that where it's like, hey, there's this like optimization that's like, I don't know, 98% faster or like whatever that is, right? And it's like, so it's up their opinion that it's quite a bit more efficient than doing it through MySQL or Postgres or whatever else, right? So I think since then I've been just leaving it on SQLite, which I have a, I don't know, let's call it unnecessary hate on for SQL. And it's just, I've got so many, like, whatever apps that you run that, like, you know, it always gets corrupt or something like that, right? And depending on how it is, it's not. So, but with that said, I've never had that issue with Home Assistant. I don't know if they do something specific around that to make sure that doesn't happen or anything like that. I've never really had those issues, at least in the last, since, because I did flip to MySQL at some point, but then I flipped back. And that was I lost all my stats and stuff like that. Again, you could always export your stats to, you know, an external database, right? Like a tick stack or something like that. Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where I'll take the efficiency over the other piece. And that's just another server to maintain or another container to maintain or whatever yeah. it is, right? So
it's true, right?
It's one less thing. Not that I have any, you know, any less containers or anything like that. It's just, it's whatever at this point. It's another one. But depending on where it is, where it's hosted and stuff like that, it might be like, oh, okay, well, that box rebooted and something like that, right? So
something that has finally been fixed in YAML land, which has frustrated me or confused me ever since I've been, even to this day, like writing YAML, I'm always like, is that right? So the new, because we've just had services renaming to actions. So continuing on with that this month, top level items such as trigger and condition and actions, they've all been renamed. So they are now pluralized when they are the top level. So for example, a trigger, the trigger section is now called triggers. And then the triggers section has a list of triggers that can be done for the automation, right? Makes sense, you know? Same thing with the conditions. And this one was always like getting me out, right? Like I would always write in condition and then you had to start another condition.
Condition, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then it was like you double condition. I'm like, that doesn't look right. Now, of course, you have the top level conditions and then underneath you'll have your list of conditions. Yeah, and of course, actions, you now have actions as opposed to just an action, a single action. It makes reading the automations so much like easier like and intuitive, right? Like I'm going to actually say, okay, this is the actions and there's my list of actions. Yeah. So fantastic change, but this is a really big change, right? And when I first read the title and I first started reading it, my heart just like sank. I'm like, there is no way I'm going into like 100 YAML files and editing every one of my old automations to support yeah. this, right? Like that is going to be tedious. Good, like I understand like you're on the new automation UI and they can just automatically update it for you. But you know, for those that have YAML files, this is huge. The good news is that this is not a breaking change. So Home Assistant is going to support the legacy trigger, condition, and action items. So if you are still using those, they will remain working and you'll be able to use either or. And they've put in a note in the notes today to say they have no plans to force you to update your YAML in the future. So that is good to know.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? It's again, if you're building anything new, then yeah, you can start saying the conditions, for example, yep. and then under there, condition, singular, right? And then, yeah, it always seemed kind of silly to do, and I agree, right? But, and, you know, if you're still using YAML for, and there's a variety of reasons, right? You push to Git and you have versioning, you have whatever. But if you do it just because you're like, well, it's kind of how I've always done it, and, you know, I don't care to change whatever. Now, I'd kind of implore you to check out the automation UI. It's gone, I don't know, I think so good, right? And again, that's entirely my opinion. That's not necessarily, you may not share in that, but I think it's pretty good. I enjoy using that. And it's gotten a lot more logical. Like when they first came out with it, it was good, but it wasn't like, I don't know, it's not where it is today. And it is definitely there today. And you can even say, hey, you've got this very specific thing. You can throw in some YAML in there, right? So it's like mixed in.
I like the UI editor. I still find it clunky. I think it's good for like if I've got an idea, like, oh, great, I want to make this automation, right? And I can make it on my phone straight away. But it does, I find it tedious. Just for example, I use ZWave.js, right? And, you know, I will go in and I will, okay, let's do something simple, right? Trigger a light to turn on. So I will go in, choose a device, you know, office downlights, and then the actions are, and you'd think, like, turn office downlight on, or the conditions are, is the office downlight on, or whatever. That's not the first thing, and you have to go through, like, a list of 100 items. You know, it's like, value of this node 1, value of this node 2, value of this node 3, and all you're looking for is office downlights are on or office downlights are off. Like, they would be the most two common things I think of, but they're buried in this list of 100 things, right? Same thing with...
So I don't use Z-Wave, right? So, but it's interesting that I'm sure you could run into that. Can you not text to search the entity, like, or whatever it is you're looking for specifically?
Maybe you can. I think I'm usually on my phone and I just see this whole list of things and I'm just scrolling, right? Maybe, yeah, that would make sense and you can search for it. But even same thing, like, you know, turn off, right? You know, you have to go turn office downlights off, you know, when it's, but we've also got a whole bunch of change this node value. It's things like that I find frustrating. And sometimes I'm a developer, I'm used to code, so I feel as though sort of slows me down a bit.
It's so for me, it's 95% of how I come up with automations is exactly what you said, right? It's like, you're like, I don't know, you're sitting there and you're like, I don't know, maybe you're not in front of my laptop and it's like, oh, and just pull out your phone and just start getting, right? And it's mostly for that reason. And then obviously again, it's chicken scratch when I do it, right? Even though it's in the UI and it's actually well laid out, but it's still like, hey, I got it. And then, you know, next time I'm at my computer, I'll actually like open it up and be like, does this make sense? Right. Or if I have to fix it, whatever, I'll go through it. But I even like running through kind of like how the automations, what happened there and like running through the logs of it and stuff like that. It's, I actually find pretty good. I've actually been able to debug a couple of times when, you know, my logic was not proper, right? And I was like, oh, right, that's just, you know, silly mistake just because of whatever. But yeah, I totally get that, right? So it's depending on your situation, depending on you know, what you're using and so on and so forth, there may be a better way or a worse way or whatever it is. And that's kind of why I was like, I get like a lot of people have that, like, you know, hey, I prefer, you know, putting it in Git and versioning and stuff. And if you do use the automation UI, you do kind of lose that bit, right? Of, hey, I run through a bunch of, like, I don't know, testing and stuff like that. I lint and do all that stuff, right? Whatever that looks like from your workflow. But that's the cool thing. But you can see that there's still a little bit of love happening with YAML, right? We do often hear, like, hey, you know, everything's moving to the UI and, you know, there's no love for YAML anymore. But that's, you know, it's, I don't think it'd be fair to say that's entirely untrue. I think they're still like, hey, we're kind of keeping both, but things are moving to the UI, right? But at the same time, there's still, because I know, like, I think it was Frank that was saying, even he, like, there's a lot of things he likes doing in the UI too, right? And sorry, Frank, if I'm misquoting it and it's not actually you, but, you know, we you know, on the Nabucasa team, I think they are challenging themselves to kind of like, hey, let's do both, right? So
I got like a mix, you know, half, you know, created on UI, some created through YAML and whatever. Frustrating thing is fine. Like, I'll have a good idea and I'll be like, oh, I need to update that automation, right? And then I'll go, oh, no, it's in YAML, or maybe I'll be lucky and I'll edit the automation. Oh, yeah, I can edit this one. I would love homesters to like automatically tag what, like, if an automation has been created in YAML, like just add a tag, YAML. I think I'll probably do that myself in YAML, but yeah, it would be cool if I could.
You could, but it'd be nice if it was auto.
So that's my little wish.
There you go. Feature request.
Exactly.
Frank, I know you listened, so there you go. I think this is me. So Matter. So there's some cool features and capabilities that kind of came up with this release. Button and valve entities are now supported in Matter. So that's nice. Operational states for smart devices, for example, things like dishwashers and washing machines and whatever else, right? So saying like, hey, it's running or it's stopped or, you know, it's powered on, powered off kind of thing. Or, well, a little bit more than a powered on, powered off kind of thing, right? So it's drying, for example, whatever in the case of a dishwasher. Smoke and CO sensors are now supported as well. So that was, I think that one, I didn't realize that actually wasn't there yet. I thought that was released earlier, but I guess not. And then Matter 1.3 power and energy sensors there too. So it's funny because we don't often get to see like standards as they evolve, right? And as they start adding a lot of things, like you look at something like Zigbee, it's kind of, I'm sure there are evolutionary steps that happen with Zigbee, but it's also one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's pretty mature. So it's like, you know, it's like a little thing here, a little thing there kind of thing. But Matter, you're seeing like kind of like, okay, this time we're gumming up with a bunch of stuff here, right? And then it's like, okay, next time it's like, hey, we got all of these other things, right? So it's I don't know. I just think it's kind of cool to kind of sit back a little bit and see, hey, there's a bunch of stuff happening on this, right? And some of it is, you know, like, I don't know, a little more primitive, right? When you start saying like, hey, button entities and valve entities and stuff like that, right? And it didn't exist before. And now it's there, right? So
I actually had a run in with Matter this month. On Android phones, there's a Google Discover feed, right? And, you know, Google obviously knowing everything about me, obviously knows that I'm into smart home stuff. And this isn't a plug for the product, but Miros just launched a Matter presence sensor, right? And I needed another MMWave presence sensor, right? And I think Everything Presence was sold out. I didn't want to get another Aquara FP1 because, you know, I was like, FP2's out. FP2 also locally is like $200. This was like $40 as a pre-sale item or something. And this one was, Matter, I assumed it would just be HomeKit. So I was like, whatever, I'll buy it as a, you know, one of those midnight on your phone purchases and regret it later, essentially. So I finally got to opening this thing up, turned it on, and I was really impressed. So as context, I'm running Home Assistant in a Docker container, Sky Connect as set up as Zigbee, right? Not set up for Matter or Thread or anything like that, just whatever. And then without doing anything, just plugging the item in, immediately Home Assistant came up and said, a new device has been detected. And I was like, how? How is a new device? Like, I still don't understand it completely. And I think it's magical, right? And for me to, like, I know, like, how technology works. And so, you know, when people are like, I feel like I'm now, like, the Luddite that's like, ooh, you know, how did your Amazon speaker do that, right? Like,
I
realize that there's a cloud connection. But no, this, I was completely impressed by, right? I'm like, wow, like, okay, I'm missing somehow running in a Docker container, has detected this. I haven't put any Wi-Fi credentials in anywhere, right? I've just plugged the thing in and Home Assistant has detected it. So I was like, fantastic, let's set this device up. Then that's when things sort of went a bit pear-shaped, on the Home Assistant side at least. So Matter obviously being in beta still, you know, says beta all over it. I just said, let's configure this device. It then asked me for a server URL, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I have a Matter server configured. What is a Matter server? I don't know. And so I just hit the OK button, and then, of course, it says, no connection at this URL. I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means. I Googled the problem, and the first, you know, Google result was someone having the same, you know, error code that I had, and a response back in the Home Assistant, like, thing saying, yes, because you're not running a Matter server, of course it's not going to connect. I'm like, okay. I don't know, right? Like, I think I know it's beta, but there could have been some better messaging around, you know, what is required here. And the fact...
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
That somehow Home Assistant was able to detect this device, but still, anyway, blew my mind. And then I sort of like shelved it. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to touch it. But I actually, just before this recording, I was able to connect this particular device with Amazon because the device is Matter and the Amazon Echo Dots. Even what I was surprised in, like my first generation Echo Dot, as long as you've got one of those devices on your network, once again, through the Amazon Echo app, it had, you know, I just went add device, and there it was up the top, you know, connect your Miros smart motion sensor. Went in, Amazon paired it up, did the connecting to the Wi-Fi for me. And now in the room that I have, just in one of the kids' rooms, it's just through the Amazon Echo app, I will now have the rules, you know, when this device detects motion, turn the lights on through Nabucasa Cloud, and then turn the lights off once motion has not been detected. It does mean that there's now cloud dependency for that room, but I'm okay for that, right? At least I've got the...
Right. That's a one-off until you go in and get your Matter server set up, blah, 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 whatever, right? If you choose to do that.
Yeah. Which is, I need to do some more research into, because I, as I said, I'm a complete lut up when it comes to this, right? So I don't know what a Matter server entails, right? And it's still got beta written all over it too. But now that, because the device is linked up to the Amazon Echo app, I don't get, you know, although I don't have that entity exposed to Home Assistant. So Home Assistant can't say or can't action on that device, right? It's all in Amazon's ecosystem. Yeah. So I want to get it out of there. But yeah, that was my little running with Matter. I was very impressed with just how the whole thing worked and how I can see it going to work in the future. Still a few teething issues, obviously, being in beta, but yeah, magic. So I'm really excited for Matter. I was blown away by it.
No, it is. It is. It's pretty cool. I mean, I don't have any, I don't think I have, yeah, I don't have any Matter devices that I've gotten. And again, it's one of those things for me. It's like, I want to play with it, but I also don't want to be wasteful, right? It's also like, hey, let me get a Matter, I don't know, power outlet, but I've got so many already. Like, I don't need another thing, right? So I'm sure one day I will. I'll get another lamp. I'll get something like that where it's like, oh, I do need this thing. And at that point, I'll probably get a Matter device, most more just to say that, hey, I want to play with this. I want to see where it goes. I do. I have Matter server set up. I actually even have a second USB stick set up as a Thread radio. I have no device. They're just sitting there. Same with Z-Wave. I have a Zeus Z-Wave stick, and I have no Z-Wave devices. I'm ready for it though. Any device I can use, I can have it thrown at. But I just have AltaicB and Wi-Fi.
Tesla Fleet now has support for Climate, Media Player, Covers. There's a number entity, select entities, buttons, locks, so many new entities. So yeah, if you are connected to your Tesla Fleet account and you have a Tesla, yeah, there's a how much more? I'm guessing like covers will be Windows. I'm actually surprised. Like I know Tesla, you know, I consider it to be a software company, right? Just the way that they open things up. But I'm surprised that with all the EVs coming onto the market, there isn't more EV integrations in Home Assistant. It's, you know, Tesla is sort of leading the pack there. You know, there's no Kia, there's no Hyundai or even Polestar or anything like that.
Right? I thought there is a Hyundai.
Unless maybe on hacks. I'm talking like official integrations. But
yeah, something.
Yeah, so I think Tesla's really got a
you're right,
a lead happening there.
Yeah, it's... I think it's also, again, this is, but you have to remember, this is not an official Tesla integration. It's a Tesla Fleet, right? So, which is the third party service that, you know, and they leverage official fleet APIs from Tesla. And then there is a cost to it, et cetera, right? But, you are right. I mean, we've seen a few vehicles come across. I think BMW, I want to say BMW is in here.
Yes, that's true. Here.
BMW Connected Drive. Potentially Audi. Nope, Audi's not there. But yeah, like as manufacturers kind of make it more open. And I think as those devices or as those services get more standardized, in the sense that, hey, you know, like let's say there's a lot of people that are buying Hyundai's, and from there a lot of people are using the service. Because some folks require payment for it, right? Like for Tesla, for example, the mobile app is included. That's actually a big part of how you interact with the car. Like you use it as your key. You use it to open up the door, and you can unlock doors and stuff from the app too, like a lot of vehicle apps can. But sometimes people charge for that. I know. In my wife's car, we bought a used vehicle, and I was like, "Hey, do they have some kind of an app?" And they do, and they're like, "Oh, but you know, it needs this physical hardware to have been installed during build. And then that way they can re-thing it. And they're like, okay, you can put it in. It's going to be $400 or whatever, right? And it's like, it just wasn't default. Like it was an afterthought. And they're like, oh, and you know, you can use it for free for like 3 years. And then you need a subscription or something like that. I forgot exactly the terms. But I'm like, that's kind of crap. I want it. And I don't know why you wouldn't have built the car with it. And at that point, you just turn on the subscription, right? And it's like, oh, well, whatever it is. And that was a 2021 vehicle, I think, was her car. And I was like, so it's not like it's recent enough, right? It's like, okay, it's different. It was like a, you know, 2001. Fine. I totally get that, right? That wasn't a thing, especially then. Like, okay, I get it. But, and I know there's third party, like, hey, here's an OBD thing you can plug in and get those stats and things like that. But I don't want to do that. I don't know. I'd rather something supported by the manufacturer, official, whatever, right? And it's like, but I also don't want to pay for it. So I'm not sure where we were. I think you did fleet. All right, Ring. So now you can control the volume of your Ring devices from Home Assistant. That's nice. There's also a new motion detection switch available. So that's a pretty good update for those that use Ring.
Yeah, actually really nice to be able to switch off motion detection, I guess, if you know. You can then, you know, tie
or
into
even
your
as
home.
An automation, right? Like,
yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Like, the home's disarmed, then I don't need Ring to have those motion detections happening.
Yeah.
Calendar support for the Husqvarna Automower is now available. Rohan, I have some personal news to share just on robot lawnmowers.
You got a robot mower?
No, I didn't. I haven't gone that far, but I have unlocked the ability for me to get one. In the last month, I've had an electrician, Sparky, come out to my house. I now have power outside, which is like a first for me in this house. And already I've got cables laid down for smart lighting, for garden lights. I'm going to make that smart, obviously. I've got some piping laid down. I'm going to do irrigation. I was doing some research today on what controller I'm going to get. I found a company that sort of has made an integration for Home Assistant around their product for an irrigation controller. So I'm probably going to go down that route. Yeah. So obviously, you know, having power out there now also means I can do something like a robot lawnmower, which is, for people listening, has been my biggest wish list for quite some time. So shout out in the comments, send me an email, feedback@haspelcast.io, if you've got a robot lawnmower and what you would recommend. I looked at the Husqvarna, it looks pretty decent. I think it was cloud polling, which sort of threw me off a little bit. So I don't know if there is any local at the moment. I think we're getting into winter for Northern Hemisphere, so summer's starting here, lawnmowing season starting, so yeah, gotta...
Yeah.
Think of it, maybe early next year, I want to try and get that automated, right?
Nice. Yeah, and you know what, by now and, you know, early next year, there's probably going to be, I don't know, another like 15 vendors that come up of like, hey, here's my version of the lawnmower. It's like robot vacuums, right? It's like everybody has got a robot vacuum now. And
I mean, even Ecovacs have like a robot lawnmower. So
They do, yeah. All right, calories and speed units. So there's a new unit of energy measurement that's been added, which is calories. So it's useful for stuff like connected treadmills and so on. There's also new speed units for millimeters a second and inches per second.
I wonder if integrations around food, like, for example, Mealy, would be able to use the calories as well, right? Like, you know, this is a recipe.
Probably.
It has, you know, this amount of calories in it, or this ingredient is out of stock, you know, you need this amount of calories. So otherwise I thought it was a random thing to have, right?
I actually wonder if anybody's using Home Assistant to track their health stats, right? Because you can have like your weigh scales connected in. You can have you can even have things like baby sleep trackers and like a lot of those kind of things, right? And like measures their, like, you know, O2 saturation and like blah blah blah, whatever other stats, and I'm sure you can do that with the adult ones too. You know, kind of as a next step, I wonder if anybody is connecting their treadmills in. They are connecting their you know, their meals to like again, Phil, like you kind of said, and doing things like calorie tracking and things like that, or rather, this is going to open up the ability to do things like calorie tracking and say, hey, you're good, you're bad, and then, you know, give some certain like a notification, be like, hey, you're doing great today, or hey, you know what, you actually had a ton of trans fats today, so you should probably stop eating more fries or whatever it was.
No TV for you tonight. Get on the treadmill.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And you know, doing that kind of thing. But like it's that would be interesting. Again, it's moving away from the home and more of you in the home. But I don't know. I think that'd be cool. Let us know if you do use that or you plan to use that and how you plan to do that. I've actually thought about that before as well. Like, not that I would do that for myself, at least in Home Assistant. Honestly, more just because that seems like a lot of effort. But, you know, there's a ton of people that put way more effort into these kind of things than I do. So I'd really be curious and what your experience is like and, you know, potentially even where it was lacking, right? And from this calorie thing, you know, where does that put you?
All right. Now, Ron, here's something a little bit sneaky in the release notes I noticed, and I did a bit of digging around as well. There is a new entity called the Assist Satellite. And all the description says is a building block for remote satellite devices that use Assist. This is in preparation for our upcoming satellite hardware. So I can only assume satellite hardware. To me, and I did a little bit of Googling around, and I found a little GitHub post by Michael Hansen, you heard of The Voice last year, about a voice satellite. So I would suspect that Nabucasa are launching a voice satellite very soon, and this new Assist entity is going to be supporting that. Very excited. I am here for it. I think I've discussed it previously with you, Rohan, on this show, but my Amazon Echo is just getting stupider and stupider every day.
It's the worst.
Not hearing me, and just, I think.
I actually have both problems of it not hearing me and hearing me when I didn't even talk to it. Like, literally nobody said a word, and it's just like, let me tell you where arms go. It did that one the other day, and I was like, that's interesting. And it's I think it heard what is an arm or something like that. And it's like, arm is a part of a body. And it's like, okay.
I've had that too. So I am ready for Jarvis to come into my life. And I am here with, I don't want to do soldering. I don't want to build my own. So if someone's going to help make me an Assist capable satellite that then I can control and do some fun stuff with, I am here for it. So I think that's a little exciting little hidden feature there coming soon, I hope.
Yeah, so it is pretty cool that when you it's a little kind of in the release notes, it's just hidden in there, but there is a Assist satellite in there, which is pretty cool. And it says it's a building block for remote satellite devices that use Assist. This is in preparation for our upcoming satellite hardware. Stay tuned. So,
and I'm guessing, like, knowing them, they will allow, like, maybe there'll be, like, ESP32 developers or something out there that may create a project that, you know, maybe they can have some remote capabilities into Assist and can do all that fun stuff too, right? So, might just be Nabucasa hardware.
All right. YAML editor gets some love. So, you can now collapse sections of your YAML when you're using that YAML editor and see the indentation when editing it. In the browser, because before you couldn't, and that was the worst.
Right. New integrations landing in 2024.10. Cambridge Audio allows you to connect all receivers and streamers that support the Stream Magic app. So if you have something from Cambridge Audio that has that app, you can now integrate that into Home Assistant.
Yep. Deco smart lighting, control and automate those lights. it's nice. Another light entity in Home Assistant. So there you go.
And if you're using Duke Energy, we can now get your Duke Energy usage data straight into your Home Assistant Energy dashboard.
This is a cool one. Google Photos. So you can view and use your Google Photos library as a media source. And you can actually also upload photos into Google Photos there as well. So that's kind of cool. That'd actually be kind of handy, especially if you're doing like automations with cameras and stuff like that. So
exactly. Yes, that's exactly what I was just thinking, right? Yeah. Like, particularly if you've got one of those AI cameras where you can say, you know, someone was detected or
people detection.
I think I mentioned, you know, someone was saying, you know, running something off to ChatGPT and getting ChatGPT to analyze an image. You know, is something suspicious happening in this image? You know, doing that, okay, yes, something suspicious is happening. All right, upload it straight to Google Photos in case I lose connection or whatever, right? Yeah, that's a really handy feature. I wonder what you would, yeah, but I guess anything that you could cast media entities to on the Home Assistant, you'd be able to push those photos from Google Photos down to. So yeah, that's interesting. Iskra allows you to monitor your energy and power usage from the Iskra energy meter if you have one of those.
Yeah, what's interesting with that one is it's actually that as added by Iskra NJ. I don't know if that's just a user that really likes the platform or if that's actually the manufacturer themselves. That's kind of
nice.
So that's kind of cool. And same with this next one here, Electrico charging stations, where you can kind of leverage that and bring that into your EV charger, electrical EV charger.
I was just going to say, like, this looks really nice. I don't have an EV, but if I did, yeah, I'd want something where I can, see its stats in Home Assistant, right? We've got the Monarch Money. So if you are monitoring your account balances with Monarch, you can now have that in Home Assistant as well. Once again, being in Australia, I just don't know. I think this is like an app that allows, you know, it's for couples and advisors and all that. So I'm guessing it's going to be US-based. But yeah, if you have access to that, then...
Oh, it's like a budgeting app and whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's got like net worth, investments, and all that stuff.
All right. New York Times Games. So you can now keep track of stuff like Wordle and Spelling Bee and whatever other games from New York Times. It's kind of fun. I like that.
Nice. My wife likes to subscribe, for the puzzles, the daily crossword and stuff. So, yeah, that's cool. I like the fun stuff like that too, right? Like where you can, now you can have Home Assistant sort of remind you, hey, like you haven't done the crossword today.
Well, it also tracks your points. And it's like, man, you really sucked today.
Okay, you only got this score on Scrabble today. So
that's right.
Now you have to go and get an extra 10 calories off your treadmill. So there you go.
That's right. There you go.
SensoTerra can now monitor your soil moisture and temperature using those sensors.
Beautiful. Trigger CMD. You can now execute commands on your computer by using the Trigger CMD cloud service.
Well, I don't know that sentence. You had me until you said cloud service.
Oh well, I mean, it just security person in me is always just like red flags going. not even just cloud, being able, like, remotely triggering stuff on your computer or whatever. That's not like a safe, trusted thing. And not to say that they're not safe or trusted.
Immediately sent just the whole cloud service and triggering commands. WeHeat. So manage and monitor your WeHeat heat pump, keeping your home warm and cozy.
WMS Web Control Pro. So if you have WAREMA, I don't know, WAREMA, sunshade covers, you can control those fully locally, which I like. There you go.
Very nice. Ooh, okay. I don't know what country they're available in. I would love, I assume they're external sunshade covers, because we're getting into summer, right? And so, you know, we've got like roller blinds that we call them, or shades out the front. This looks like a very European country.
It is. And I just went on their website and I just see like Germany and Austria and Switzerland.
All right, breaking changes 2024.10. The climate, so they've added more validation to the climate set humidity action. It now enforces that when the target humidity is set, it needs to be set within the main, within the min and max humidity levels of the targeted entity. So if you have an entity that doesn't support, you know, going to a humidity of 120%, it won't allow you to set that value anymore.
The ping sensor, and I know a lot of folks use this, I think. So the binary sensor, the binary sensor, the attributes that it has been replaced with sensor entities. So instead of having attributes, it's now entities itself in 2024.4. So this happened a while ago, and now those deprecated attributes have now been removed.
For those that use Ring, the Ring update action, which was deprecated in 2024.4, has now been removed. If you still need to manually update the Ring entities, you can use the Home Assistant.update entity action. Around when I read this, I was like, damn, like what happened to 6 months notice, right? Like that seems like only a couple of months ago that they, and they just like shut that down. But then I read, nope, it's, that is 6 months. We have 2024.10.
Exactly. There
makes
you go.
Sense.
So for templates, they limit the maximum template render output to 256 KIB, just so that the renders don't inject some unreasonable amount of data and cause them in a break.
And this is probably coming, like becoming more of a problem with things like the generative AI, where we can pump things off to and return values right from services. I can imagine someone making a call to like a generative AI saying, generate me this. And it just regurgitating a whole bunch of data back into the template rendering engine and crashing. So
yeah. It's, what's the weather today? And it gives you an essay on what weather is.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Let's see if I can pronounce this one. I don't know. Tefayek integration has been disabled. Yeah, because they cannot create any valid Python wheels for the dependencies. So we were going to give a shout out to this one because Home Assistant doesn't want to disable this integration. It's just, they can't find any Python wheels for it. So if you are a Python expert and you can jump in on this, contributions to fix the issue will be greatly appreciated.
And as usual, ZWebJS version bump.
That's good. And I think that is 2024.10. Before we go, another shout out to Riley, who signed up to our Patreon feed. Thank you so much. We've got a couple of things coming for Patreon in the next couple of months. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. Otherwise, Ron, I think that's another great episode.
Perfect. Thanks for joining us.
See you soon. Cheers.
Cheers.
If you want to share your Home Assistant journey or come on as a guest, reach out to us at feedback@hasspodcast.io. That's hasspodcast.io.
The Home Assistant podcast is hosted by Phil Hawthorne and myself, Rohan Karamandi. For links to topics we discussed today, check out our show notes on hasspodcast.io.